Well, hello and welcome. My name is Doug. I'm one of the pastors here at Next Level Church, and we are so excited that you are coming in and checking us out, and we just thank you so much for being here and being a part of what's going on at Next Level. Now, I want to start today with a question, and so here it is. What is it that excites you? What is it that gets you jazzed up? What is it that you get excited about? And so, I don't know about you, but I know that I do know some people, and I do know what they get excited about. And so, I want to start right here with my daughter. This is my daughter, Catherine, 26 years old. She gets so excited going to Disney. It's just a great experience. She gets excited about thinking about it. She gets excited about planning about it. She doesn't get excited about saving for it, but she gets excited about that part and then going, and then when she gets back, she's all excited. And so, she gets excited about Disney. Now, for me, it's a little different. Yeah, that's right. I get excited about this. This was actually an outdoor project that I did a couple years ago, and I get excited about planning this out and about figuring out the material that I'm going to need and trying to hawk the best prices that I can find. And then it becomes the day of going and buying the material, and then it becomes the day of actually doing the project. And so I like doing a little project like this, built this little fire pit off my patio, and I had a great time doing this. But what I really get excited about is the fact that I got a life group, and we meet on Monday nights, and we meet around the fire pit, and we hang out there. And yes, that's an unashamed pitch for my life group that meets on Monday night. But still, this is what I get excited about. And I don't know what you get excited about. I don't know the things that really jazz you up. It might be going on vacation. It might be part of your work. It might be something you do for fun. Maybe you play a sport that you get really excited about, or maybe watching TV or video gaming. I don't know what your bag is, but I know you get excited about something. And so I just want to let you know that you've called us right in the middle, or actually wrapping up a series called Witness. Come and see, go and tell. And the reason that I talk about getting excited is because I get excited over this series. And if you've missed any part of it, I encourage you to go back and watch it and be a part of it. But last week, Pastor Clay drove home a couple of ideas, and he said, here's what you need to do. If you want to know what it means to be a part of Next Level Church and this idea of come and see and go and tell, if you're a part of the church, then we want you to serve on a ministry team. We want you to connect in a group. We want you to give a percentage, and we want you to invite a friend. And he explained what all that meant last week. Now, I say that to say all these things, we're talking to believers. We're talking to people who cross the line of faith and are wanting to come in and become part of the church. And these are expectations for believers. If you're not a believer, we don't have these kind of expectations. It's a little different. We want to introduce you to Jesus. We believe that when you get plugged into these things, then you're learning more about Him. And there are some things that you can actually not be a believer and plug yourself into all these things. But we believe there's a huge difference as a believer when we get involved. And I want to flesh that out and lay that out a little bit more here today. Now, I get excited about these things. And you would go, well, yeah, you should be excited because you're the pastor and you're a professionally paid religious person. And I would say, yes, I am a professionally paid religious person, but I get excited when believers begin to do these things right here. And here's why. It's because when we start doing these things, we start looking like Jesus. We are a witness. And because of that, we have the ability to invite people to come and see, because then they get to come and see Jesus and they can experience Jesus. And then Jesus can work to bring the transformation, His transformation, into their lives. And so I get excited about this because it's this idea of witness. But what does it mean to be a witness? I mean, I don't know if you've hung around church a while, or maybe you're going into a courtroom about being an eyewitness. There's lots of connotations about being a witness. But we kind of sum it up with this thought. If you want to be a witness, as we talk about Jesus, as a believer, as believers, we come together, we literally lock arm in arm as the body. And we're going to talk about more about that this morning. But we lock arm in arm as the body, serving each other. This is what we do as believers. We serve each other. And when we use what God has given us as the church, we look more like Jesus than any other time. This is being a witness. This is being a strong witness. Because we look like Jesus. But you know, wait a minute. Let me time out. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me catch back up. So, you know that Jesus lived on this earth. He died. We're about to celebrate that death through Easter, his resurrection. That will be on Sunday, Easter Sunday, his death that traditionally we celebrate on Friday. We call it Good Friday because it leads to the resurrection. But Jesus resurrected from the dead. He hung out for 40 days after his resurrection. And the last thing he said to his followers was this: "You will receive power." This is Jesus talking. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. So here's a couple things you need to understand. Jesus' last words, very last words while he was here on this earth, and he was speaking to his followers. That was a group of about 120. Now, if you dig into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you would find out that at one point there was 4,000 or 5,000 plus people that hung out with Jesus. And at this point, it had dwindled down to 120. And if you read Matthew's version of what took place as Jesus ascended, then you would see that even of the 120, there were some people who doubted. And that was what we would kind of call the church. And at this time, there was no leader for the church. There was no music for the church. There was no programming for the church. There wasn't student ministry. There wasn't kids ministry. There wasn't what's good for me. There wasn't this concept of being in a building and coming and going. You know, I go to church. There wasn't any of that. There was a group of 120 followers. Jesus was a leader, and he was taken up. He just left. And so we know that the disciples went to Jerusalem. They stayed in Jerusalem. They prayed. They received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they became a witness. And we know that from the book of Acts, later chapters, that Peter got up and he preached, and 5,000 were added to the church, and people came in and became part of the church. But still, no music, no style of preaching, no programming, no time of day that's good for me. When any of that, it was the teaching of the disciples. They loved and encouraged each other. And there was one ministry that took place, and they took care of widows and made sure that they were fed. But that was the church. And that was the church being a witness. Jesus said, "You're going to be a witness." And so what happens is, several years later after this fact, as the believers spread out across the region, and they talk about other people, and they're sharing Jesus with other people and doing the way they're doing, and they're gathering together, and they're trying to understand, what does it mean to be the church? Paul, who's a church planter, writes back, or he plants a church in a city called Corinth. He writes a letter back to them, and he's describing the church, and he says that the church is a body. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. You are Christ's body, individually individually members of it. What does that mean? That means that just as the body has many parts, I got hands, I got feet, I got knees, I got elbows, I got eyes, I got a nose. Just as my body has many parts, but yet each part is individual, but yet we are one. Now, no matter what culture we find ourselves, whether we're in North America, whether we're in China, whether we're in India, whether we're in England, in the country of England, no matter where we are, if we're in an open society where we can worship freely, whether we're in a closed society that doesn't allow believers to gather together and they meet in what we call underground, it doesn't matter if there's 3 people, it doesn't matter if there's 20,000 people, it doesn't matter. We are the body. We are Christ's body and individually members of it. So, why is that a big deal? Well, if we are the body and we live like the body and we invite people to come see the body of Jesus, then if we live like Jesus as the body of Jesus, then we're being an effective witness for Jesus. Take a look at this. What's the best way for people to see Jesus? Well, now, we can go, well, yeah, you know, if I go and I tell people or if I live my life, and that's all good and well, but the reality is when we describe the church, we are the body, and when we are together as the body, that is a huge witness of who Jesus is. Now, I'm not negating the fact of me testifying, telling about Jesus. I'm not negating that, but what I'm saying is when we come together and we function together, we are the body, and when we live like the body of Christ together, when we're together, then guess what? That becomes one of the most effective ways for us to share Jesus. Why? That's easy. I invite people, hey, I'm coming to church. Guess what we do at church? We encourage each other. We lift each other up. We help each other. Oh, we're different. No. Don't get us wrong on that there. You think different than I do, and I do things different than you do, and we're a whole lot different, but yet we're a whole lot the same, and we recognize that, and we are a body. I want you to come and see that. I can show it to you way better that I can describe it to you. We live like the body of Christ. So that leads me to the question, what does it mean to live like the body of Christ? Paul goes on to talk about that. He says, now there's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. What's he saying? What does it mean to live like Christ? It means that I'm going to live inside of my spiritual gift. If you're a believer, you have a spiritual gift. Then he goes on to say, there are different kinds of service. That means we have different kinds of work. We do different kinds of things. We have different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. There's unity in our service. We're serving the Lord. And then he says, now God works in different ways. God does different things through different people, but it is the same God. There's that unity idea of who does the work in all of us. So what's he saying? He's saying there's a spiritual gift that's given to each of us so that we can, read it with me, help each other. That's why we have a spiritual gift. If you're a believer, that's why you have a spiritual gift. It's something that God gives you. And God gives it to you not so that you can flip on a video, watch a video, turn it off, and go, yep, check, check, I've done my church thing. No. You've been given a spiritual gift to help each other, to help other believers. And remember, believer, a church, so I said earlier, it could be a group of 3, could be a group of 2, could be a group of 20,000. Doesn't matter. We've all been given a gift, and we use that to help each other. That's why we have this spiritual gift. And so he goes on to say, this is verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he goes on and lists those gifts. Now, I'm going to roll just a few of those gifts out. This is some of them. It's not all of them. Some of them, the ability to give wise advice, spiritual gift. A message of special knowledge. The ability to have great faith. The gift of healing. The power to perform miracles. The ability to prophesy. The ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. The ability to speak in unknown languages. The ability to interpret those unknown languages, what is being said. These are a variety of the gifts. And then he goes down in the following verses. Basically verse 12 through 25. If you go get a Bible, you can find this and read this. And he talks about the body. He says, he reiterates the idea. We are many members of one body. All the members don't act the same. A foot doesn't act like a hand. A knee doesn't act like an elbow. Similar, but different. Eyes do not act like the heart. The heart does not act like the kidneys, and so on. You get the picture. And so in the first part of that, as he's talking through that, here's what he's saying. He said, listen, just because I say I'm a hand, I'm not any less part of the body. Because, you know, some people may say, well, you know, you can do without your hand and the body's okay. I mean, I could say, hey, I'm not the little toe, but when's the last time you stubbed your little toe? Man, it is painful and it certainly hurts to walk. Seemingly insignificant part of the body becomes very significant. I mean, just ask the spleen how significant it is. It starts hurting. We got to have surgery. Now, granted, we can live without the spleen, but that's a whole different story. But the part is, thing is, we are all different. And just because we're different doesn't make us any less part of the body of Christ. That's the whole point. We've been gifted to help each other, not to live alone, not to have life consumed with just me. But as believers, we've been gifted to help the other parts of the body. But then he goes on to say, I can go, well, listen, dude, I'm the mouthpiece. I'm the mouthpiece of the body. And so because I'm the mouthpiece, I don't need other parts. Because I'm the most important part. Or somebody can say, no, I'm the ears. I'm the most important part. And I listen, and because I'm the most important part, I don't need any other part of the body. No, can't do that either. We all need each other. So basically, if you surmise the next 10 or so verses, this is what it says. It says, we are one as believers. When we come together and come to be part of a church, we are one, and we need each other. That's a double-sided coin, by the way. On one hand, you have a gift that's essential for the body, and God wants you to be part of a local body of Christ somewhere, and He wants you to be functioning in that part. And so, on one hand, you need that group because you're part of the body. But here's the other part. The group needs you. I mean, can you imagine that if you were the heart of the church and you weren't part of a body of Christ, that a church would not have the significant part of the heart? I don't know. I think it's an interesting thought. That's how important, as a believer, we are to the church and the church is to us. That's how important it is. We need each other. We are one. Now again, just as we have many members and all the members don't have the same function, we're all together as one. Matter of fact, he goes on to say, this makes, when we are together as one, when we come together as one and we do things as one, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members do what? Care for each other. That's exactly what takes place. This care, this love, this encouragement. You see, here's the deal. Did you know that in the body of Christ, I can be politically a Republican and politically a Democrat and I come together and hang out and be together and be one? Do you know that? Did you know that I could be a 60-year-old man and I could come together and hang out with a 20-year-old person or a 15-year-old young teenager boy? I can hang out with them and we can be one? Did you realize that? Did you realize we could be vastly different? I could be a blue-collar worker that works somewhere, or I could be a white-collar worker somewhere, and we can come together and we can be one because we are part of the body of Christ. I can think that guns are really important, or I can go, no, I don't think we need guns, and I can come together as the body of Christ. Don't you see what I'm saying, church? It is that we are bound together by Jesus, and we all need each other in that realm. Ideology is not important. What's important is that we have the unity of Christ, and Christ has gifted us, and we as believers have the ability to come together. And when we come together in church, we look like Jesus more than any other time. Hands down. Works for harmony, care for each other. And here's the other part of that. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer. We all suffer together. We all bear that burden together. That's that unity within the body. And if one part is honored, the other parts are glad. Matter of fact, there's another passage in here that I didn't read that talks about that the body, the parts that seem insignificant and unimportant are actually more important than what we would perceive the most important parts of the body to be. Yeah, that's how it works. Selflessness with this giftedness because we're caring for each other. He goes on to say, all of you are together as Christ's body, and each of you is part of it. Here are some of the parts. Here's some of the parts. If you're just wondering what some of the parts are, he goes, here's some of the parts, and here they are. Apostles, prophets, teachers. Now, I just put them all up there line by line because I could get them all on one slide, all right? They're listed out individually. But apostles, prophets, teachers, those who do miracles, those who have gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown tongues. These are just some of the parts of the body. Just some, not all. Not all. Listen, if we want to be attractional as a church, meaning that we want people to be attracted to the church because the church is Jesus, and so we want them to be attracted to Jesus. The best way to do that is to be a functioning body of Christ. See, here's the question. You want to be that attractional? You want to be a witness? We can't find our value and purpose apart from the body. We find it when we are functioning in the body. You want to be a witness? Function in the body. Function in the body, we find our value and purpose. Because that's the way God wired us. If you're a believer, that's the way God wired us. That's what God's brought us together for. So here's the next step coming out of here. Here's what we need to do. Bottom line, we need to get plugged in. We need to use the giftedness that God's given us. Checking in online, watching a video, checking out, going, I've done what God asked me to do. And it helps, but it's not being part of the body. You can function. You can function as part of the body. No matter what level you are, no matter where you are. I used to pastor a church, and 70% of the people in that church were over the age of 72. Now, it's not like we were out building a whole bunch of houses, and it's not like we were doing a whole lot of hands and feet of Jesus, but you know what we did a whole lot of? We did a whole lot of praying together, and we found encouragement together, and we found support from one another because we found a way to do ministry in the life of the body with who we were as the body. Go to our website, nextlevelchurch.org. Click on events, scroll down, find take your next step to serve, click on the form, fill out the form, get ready to serve. Why? I just want to say it again. The body of Christ, when we function together, when we function together, we look more like Jesus. Now you're saying, listen, I don't live, I'm like 5,000 miles from where y'all are, okay? I get that. Then I want to help you find a church, a local church that you can be a part of. So here's what I'll do. Here's what you can do. You can go to our website. You can click, there's a help at nextlevelchurch.org. You can email that and you can say, hey, Pastor Doug said, get in touch with me. I'll get that email. It'll be routed to me. I will get in touch with you. I will help you find a church to be a part of, to be functioning of, because God wants you to serve, because when we serve each other, we look more like Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that you loved us so much, that Jesus came for us. He gives us a new life, and that new life means that we're not lone rangers. We're part of something bigger that you call the church. And as the church, when we come together and we function together, then we look more like Jesus. And we're a witness. And we can invite our friends and our family members to come and see. Because they would come and see Jesus. And they would have an opportunity for their lives to be changed by Jesus. So Father, help us as we fulfill your command to be a witness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, thank you again for being with us today. And I just want to say that if this video, this message, or any of these messages that you've been a part of has helped you and encouraged you in any way, do me a favor and share that with your friends. Share that out. Tag that. Go in and like us. So that you can follow us, and so you can see all the updates when they come, and you can be more actively engaged in what's going on. Also, if this video's been good for you, if this teaching's been good for you, this ministry's been good for you, let me encourage you to give. And here's why. Because there's other people out there like you. Now here's the reality. A group of people gave so that we could have this ministry that gets to be online. Because of their giving, your life is being changed. And you had the opportunity to give that, to give so that somebody just like you, so that their life could be changed. Go to our website, click give. You'll see the multiple ways to give there. And we give to honor God, and we give to make a difference in people's lives. Now, as you leave today, it is my hope and prayer that we all would be blessed, we who are believers of Christ, knowing this one thing, that all of us together are Christ's body. And each of us is part of it. So may you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you are part, as a believer, of the body of Christ. Have a great week. Thank you.